Second Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2. Amen. Good song. Is that one of your? No. Second Kings chapter 2. Right, man, it's a nice one. Good Wednesday service. I don't believe I'll ever get discouraged on a Wednesday night, remembering that it started when I came here anyway with six people downstairs. So it wasn't the case upstairs on Sunday, but it was the case on midweek services. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let me say this before we get too far into it. So far, we looking at this manuscript for mentoring, if you will, and I think it's imperative. I can't say it enough. I hope those that came last night saw the importance of it. Those involved in it last night saw the importance of it. We are supposed to hold fast the word of truth as we have been taught. And a pastor ought to be apt to teach. And one of the five offices in the church is a teacher. We ought not to only be able to preach, but we ought to be able to teach. I came up in a time when they told you the what. They didn't always explain the why. And several in my circles, because they didn't look for the why themselves, they're not in church much anymore. So it isn't just the responsibility of the pastor or a Sunday school teacher. It's all our responsibilities to find out what the Bible says. And we should be mentors. We should be disciplers. We should be aged men and women helping the younger ones. That's how it works, right? Amen. We kept saying it last night, and Sam put it in the post. I've always felt this way, and I want to be this way, and our church ought to be this way. We are here. Oh, boy. Let's try that again. I'll clue you in on what we're doing. We are here to facilitate the success of others. And that's what we were doing last night. Sometimes it's tough. Remember one time telling my boy, I won't tell you which one it was, I told him what I had said to him was tough, and I said, I love you. He said, well, it don't seem like you love me. And I said, it doesn't seem like it now. Down the road it will, once it's clearer. And so we're in the manuscript for mentoring. It's imperative in our churches. So far we looked at the purpose of mentoring and then the people of mentoring. In regard to the people of mentoring, and there's been no real outline. I've just been sharing my heart, reading verses of Scripture from Titus. But in regard to the people of mentoring, I was wanting to present an example of one. And I could do this for several weeks, but I want to present an example of one of the people that was a mentor and see what we could learn from them and what they did in Scripture for the one they were passing the torch or, if you will, mentoring. Before I do, I want to make a statement. God never intended, I'll just use men for the sake of the statement, but it applies both. God never intended men to grow in isolation. Throughout Scripture, spiritual strength is passed from one faithful man to another, building generations of godly leaders. Yet many men today walk alone, lacking both accountability and encouragement. It ought not to be. It starts in the home. There's too many sons without a father. And too many fathers never had a father. So the cycle just gets keeping passed on to the next one and the next one and the next one. God realized that might happen. He said, so I'm going to build a church. And I'm going to put people in the church that can facilitate the success of others. If our mother and father forsake us, He said He'll lift us up. How does He do it? With other people. Aged women, aged men. Pastors, evangelists, teachers, mentors, disciplers. Now this happens, those men that walk alone, lacking accountability and encouragement, It happens all while the pattern, the principles, the purpose, and the people are scattered all throughout scriptures. You've heard me say my story many times, the things that weren't present in my life. But there was one thing that was very important in my life and present that helped me when somebody else didn't. So none of us have an excuse. There are many throughout Scripture. Moses mentored Joshua. Look at who Joshua was. Moses was a picture of Christ. He was a type of Christ. Joshua was a type of Christ. We have, it was mentioned last night, Angela mentioned it, and other ladies expounded upon it, Naomi and Ruth. It's not just the men that mentor, it's the women that mentor. Naomi and all of her, she'd lost, look what happened in her life. She lost her husband. She followed her husband. She didn't just sit at home, she was following him to destruction. Because he didn't know what he was doing. And, where was his father teaching him? She follows him nonetheless. He passes away. She don't only lose her husband, she loses her sons. And yet, in the process of going back, she left out empty, came home what? Or she left out full, came home empty. But yet, in the process, she gave enough of an example and mentored a young lady by the name of Ruth, who was a what? Moabite. That was another problem. But because of her mentorship, she ends up in the genealogy of Christ. Then we have Paul and Timothy. Paul, without a wife, without children of his own. See how God does this stuff? Reaches out and Timothy becomes his own son in the faith. Came from an interracial relationship. His father's passed away. And he has his grandmother and his mother. But Paul mentors him, puts him in a place, and leaves him there. And he comes back and he writes him often with tears. And he said, I was mindful of thy tears. He referred to him as his son in the faith. And then there was even a couple. We've covered it. There's men that did it to men. There's women that did it for women. There's fathers or men that had no children that did it for men that had no father. And then as well we see in Scripture a couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And they helped not only Paul, but they helped Apollos, an evangelist. Then we have Jesus and the 12. I could go on and on with this stuff. Jesus and the 12 laid the foundation for the church. Where would we be without Jesus? I heard somebody say the other day, I want to go teach in a Bible college so I can impact more men. It sounds good on the surface. Jesus didn't establish a Bible college. He built a church. And he left it in the hands of 11 people. And look at how those 11 that he just invested them into, what they did to invest in other people. You really want to... Listen, you can invest in... Rodney invested in one. Me. And there's no telling how much that multiplied Rodney's investment in me. Let's quit doing things the way the world does it. Maybe if I, monetize my social media, I can make an impact on more people. No, just invest it in one. You'd be surprised what that investment in one will do. Plant trees, as one preacher said, that you may never sit under the shade of. Jesus did it for the 12, and look what we have today. And then there are those, for me, that are special. This one has always been special. Elijah, there is no mention of him nowhere in Scripture that he had a mentor. But yeah, look what he accomplished. And the one he mentored doubled the miracles that he did himself. So don't ever say nobody really ever invested in me and that's where I'm at. God invested in you and it was quite a costly investment. He ought to get something on his return. So let's read these verses of Scripture, see if we can get something and help us tonight in this series on the manuscript for mentoring. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Sound familiar? Sound like Ruth's statement? He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Elisha understood the importance of a mentor. And I know sometimes I haven't emphasized that the mentoree, is that the word? The mentee? That's a breath mint, isn't it, Mike? Mentee? I'm told those things that swim around in Florida. What? I'm trusting you that you know. That's a manatee. Okay. A mentee needs a mentor. And if the church fills up with mentors, if they don't have mentees that are willing to be mentored, then it stops as well. It's not just a mentor's responsibility. There ought to be some... Are you pulling my chain? Are we going to laugh about this on YouTube later? Is it mentee? It is. Oh, says the school teacher. All right. You need to be just as willing. I remember as a young preacher, I'd sit down at a table and I'd keep my mouth shut. And I'd just glean what the other men had to say. My opinion didn't really matter. I was trying to get where they were. And then sometimes it's, you know, I remember my grandfather, I wasn't that old, but I still remember him telling me, quit asking questions, just watch what I'm doing, shut up. You know, and then the new generation comes up, you know, they always told me to just shut up. I just want to ask a bunch of questions. And then you feel sorry for them. Sometimes we need as many mentees, and that doesn't sound right. I'm going to watch this back. I'm going to Google that later on. And I trust you, though. But what is it? Trust but verify? You Googling it right now, Alicia? But we need people that are willing to be mentored, not people that think... I'm done. Let Sam come to the piano. The person who a mentor mentors is most commonly called a mentee. Other frequently used terms include protege or apprentice. Who do you think sent me that while I'm sitting here trying to preach from an iPad? That's already ungodly. People know you, Joe. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they, what I was trying to say is, it's universal. We need a mentor. Let's just say this. We need a protege and a pupil. Is that fair enough? So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth, the college boys, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? See, they were mocking the fact, one-on-one discipleship. And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. See, they were trying to discourage him from following in the footsteps of somebody else, being a mentor. There's nothing wrong. I'm not kicking college. I'm not kicking Bible college or anything. There is nothing wrong with the biblical process of mentoring and discipleship. We don't have to send them somewhere else. We are told we're supposed to produce them our own self within our own local churches. And Elisha said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Do you notice he keeps going somewhere else? And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. You see the pattern now? And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha. Here they are again, Bible college students, spring break. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Just trying to discourage him. And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elisha said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here. I think I preached on these four locations and the tests of these four locations or something like that at one time. And Elisha said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, see the pattern? And as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Elisha knew the importance of mentorship, just as much as Elijah knew the importance of the mentorship. And he wasn't making it easy. He was making it hard. We've raised generations thinking we had it too hard, they need it easier, and we've made them lazy. Verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view far off. I guess this was the graduating class. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elisha took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over. Now both of them are fixing to cross the Jordan. And the Jordan is a typified of the victorious Christian life. You'll search or you'll find mentorship or victory in mentorship when you surrender to the mentorship. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elisha said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And if thou see me, they're watching. I don't know if y'all were here one time with Brother Kesey. I said to him one time, I said, if nobody's asked for your mantle, I sure wouldn't mind it. I have a whole office full of books. There was a discussion the other day in a group, and there was a preacher fixing to sell all his books. I wasn't rebuking him. I said, what a blessing that would be if you found about 3 or 4 men training for the ministry, and instead of trying to make some money for retirement, you just brought those 3 men in and shared all of those books with them for the ministry. It came to pass as they still went on, verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, he said, you're going to have to watch. There's going to have to be some dedication on your part. It shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they, notice this word they is used numerous times. It is just as much a responsibility of the mentor, the protege, as it is the pupil. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried. This is what he says of him. My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in 2 pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And there's so much in there I could talk about. I'm just going to be short and sweet tonight. Amen. Cody, amen. Are you timing me? All that didn't matter. Start the clock now, all right? Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the guidance in the Word of God. Thank you for all the things that are lacking in our life. If we just open that book up, you've written everything to us. You've encouraged us in every way possible. You've exhorted us. You've educated us. You've rebuked us. You've convicted us. Lord, thank you for the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Help us to hide it, Lord, in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. Speak to us tonight, Holy Spirit, as only you can. Teach us something about mentoring and being a mentee, I plead. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure it's not new to anyone, but I was reminded of this and thought it fitting. It won't be a Baldwin quote, and I'm not much on humor, but I'm going to try. I was reminded of this and thought it fitting so as to catapult us into the thought for this evening. There's a story, I don't know if you've heard of it before. It's called The Chicken and the Pig. Buddy, heard about the chicken and the pig, Brother Mark? The chicken and the pig were passing a church on a country road one day when they saw a sign reading, and I quote, Noah, charity meals for the poor, please contribute. The chicken, upon reading the sign, said to the pig, sounds like a worthy cause. Let's you and I contribute a ham and egg breakfast. The pig responded thoughtfully, ma'am, for you that would be a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. Can I say perspective is everything? Can I also say as well as kindly as I can regarding mentoring, too many today are the chicken, while the pastor is the pig. That guy I've been watching on the reels said, pause for effect. Let it soak in. Let them think about that for a minute. The pig's getting operated on. That means the chicken's going to have to contribute. Because mentoring still takes place. Amen. Can I ask a few questions this evening to get us started? How committed are you today? Are you a rentor or an owner? Before Brother Houston passed away, he said, Brother Lovett, remember one thing. Church for the pastor is everything. For the church member, most times, it's just a portion of their life. Let me ask you this. Are you all in or just in it for a while? How much does the Bible, your church, and the mission mean to you, and what are they really for? Are you like Elijah finding pupils? And are you like Elisha following a protege? Here's another question. What would it take for you to quit or stop? Maybe I should be asking what it would take just to start. I feel like we can answer some of those questions as we look at the lives of these two individuals that we find in our text. One is a protege, as I've said, Brother Baldwin helped us with. One is a mentor, and the other is a mentee. One is a protege, one's a pupil. Today in the life of these two individuals, we found what I'd like to call the passing of the torch, or should I say the completion of the task. And the one, I've said this many times, you are not a success, sir, ma'am, until you make somebody else a success. It's wonderful for you to be one, and a lot of people are striving to be one and doing everything they can to build a resume. I've seen preachers all over the world trying to build a resume instead of trying to build people. God didn't call us to build resumes. He called us to be what? Fishers of men. For what? To pour our lives into them. The one passing the mantle is presenting several, let's call them tests, regarding the worthiness to be handed such a responsibility. And I'll say this, and I've said it to the Timothy guys, and the church folks know it, and I guess I'm saying it again to reiterate it. I'm not saying this in a bad way. That anesthesiologist might put a little bit too much pepper in the salt shaker. And I don't come out of that. And if I don't come out of that, what are you going to do? Get a pulpit committee together? Or are you going to pick one of the guys that have been trained, that you've allowed Pastor Lovett to train and you don't really have much part in, other than the vote to pick out which one you like better than the other? Amen, 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 Lord, thank you. So with that being said, and conscious of my time to develop the thought more, I want to preach on this thought and challenge you this evening again regarding mentoring. Let's call it the curriculum for commitment. Or we can call it the path to passing the torch. Or in this case, with Elisha, it was a mantle. Some background quickly. These two first meet in 1 Kings 19, verse 19. And much could be said concerning this. I'll pass. Now we fast forward to the last time we see them together, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, which we read. They've been through a lot. Now the test of what the Lord desired is going to come to pass. Did Elijah do his part? And will Elisha do his part? It's a mutual agreement, if you will. One has to be willing and the other has to be willing. And so we have a final exam, if you will. I'll call them tests in regards to the curriculum of commitment. And we see them here in our text. First, real quick, First, Elijah gives the test of loyalty. Before Elijah officially hands over the mantle, he puts Elisha through a series of tests, the first being that of loyalty. Elijah says to Elisha, "Tarry here." This was not an order, but a request. Elijah was testing Elisha's loyalty. We see this test given by Naomi to Oprah, or Orpah, and Ruth two times. Naomi says, "Turn again." That's the equivalent of "Tarry here." She's encouraging Ruth to go away. I heard a preacher used to say this to the Bible college students when I was in college. He said, "If you can find something else to do, do it." And I said, "Man, why are they trying to discourage people from that?" It wasn't the discouragement, it was a test. Because if he can discourage you from mentoring or being a mentor with the statement, then a situation comes up, you'll surely quit. It was a test of loyalty. Ruth said two times, "Turn again." Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 18. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly, when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Ruth passed the test of loyalty and demonstrated commitment. And you know what it yielded her? You know what that simple test of loyalty yielded Ruth? She was in the genealogy of Christ. While Orpah is never heard of or mentioned again in Scripture. Elijah knew the weight and responsibility of being a prophet of God for the nation of Israel. And he knew Elisha would need commitment. You know why one of the greatest qualifications for a pastor is commitment to his wife and marriage? Because if he can't stay loyal and committed to her in tough times, he won't stay committed to the church. Let me give you these quotes. "Motivation is what gets you started. Commitment is what keeps you going. Commitment is an act. It's not a word. Commitment is the foundation of great accomplishments." Vince Lombardi said this, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor." When it comes time in your curriculum of commitment, will you pass the test of loyalty? You know why a lot of preachers get discouraged sometimes? Because they give the ham and a few hens give a couple chickens. And then they're trying to sit there and figure out, why isn't everybody else as committed to this thing about teaching and training men and women to help? We throw comments at that crowd, but that crowd's like that because nobody's mentored them. Nobody's come beside them. Nobody's helped them. Nobody's showed them the value of their life. Loyalty. Here's the next one. It's not only a test of loyalty, the curriculum of commitment and mentoring. There is a test of labor. We see the second test that Elijah gives Elisha, and that is a test of labor. Our text tells us that when it came time to pass the mantle, Elijah gave Elisha another test. This test entailed traveling from Gilgal to Bethel, then to Jericho, and then to Jordan. They didn't have Uber. They didn't have chariots. These were just common men. They had to put shoe leather to their destination. Best estimates I can decipher is that is 45 miles. You ever walked 45 miles in one day? I rode a bicycle one time as a teenager to visit my girlfriend. That was 16 miles. I was whooped at the end of that thing. I called somebody to put my bicycle in the back of their pickup truck so I'd get back. 45 miles. What was he testing Elisha in? Labor. Labor. It entailed heights of at least 3,000 feet to as low as 1,000 feet below sea level. In a one-day trip. What's that tell me as I look at the lives of these two men? It was a test of labor. You know what I've seen through the years in people who want to serve the Lord? I've seen a lot of lazy, not labor. Lazy people and more lazy preachers than I can number. Here's what Solomon had to say about it, Proverbs 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Elijah said, listen, young man, if you're going to be in the ministry, if you're going to help this nation, if you're going to make a difference in people's lives, you're going to need to pass not only the test of loyalty, you're going to need to pass the test of labor. I often, at work days, look around at how easy it is for people to work harder to get out of doing work than to do work. Many hands make light work. I'm saddened sometimes as a pastor. A lot of people love the pig offering the ham hock while they're just a chicken that'll offer an egg here or there, most of the time with a broken shell. Can you still do something with it, Pastor? If we ask those, man, who's spitting your cornflakes, preacher? Nobody. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm trying to teach you about this mentoring thing. You can make the difference in somebody's life. Glenn Mundy, 82-year-old man, I was a 27-year-old punk boy. He invested in my life. He taught me loyalty. He taught me, he helped me to teach. Frank Payne had already taught me labor at 12 years of age, knocking on my window at the farm, asking me to get up and milk cows and bale hay and everything else. Look around us nowadays. They're lazy. Have a church work day and they're waiting for the pizza and Pepsi. Let me ask you this and we'll move on. Great goodness, I'm going to be done for 8:30. We ain't got the invitation yet. If we ask those around you of your work habits, would the answer be, they're lazy. They don't work. It's amazing to me. There was a man here not too long ago. I don't know how many times we said to him, get a job. Man gets a job. Man that won't work is worse than an infidel. Christ said, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church. Christ provided for his church. Christ protected his church. Christ was a man. We've got men nowadays that somebody else takes care of them. That's not a man, that's a boy. A boy is taken care of. A man takes care of himself. Then he becomes a grown man when he can take care of other people. We got too many in churches just keep bouncing around as preachers, bouncing this place and that place because they haven't learned. They want somebody to take care of them instead of them taking care of them. If we ask those around you of your work habits, would the answer be he or she is lazy? A lazy man never accomplished anything. Number three. And that Iguana whistle's fixing to blow, baby. I like this pastor. I wanted him to go into surgery every week. Number three, the curriculum of commitment, or what do we call it? The path to passing the torch. I want to pass the torch to somebody one day. I don't want them to compete with themselves. I want every one of these Timothy men to either go plant a church, go take a church, or be so valuable here the church can't afford to not have them here. Number three, first it was a test of loyalty. Secondly, it was a test of labor. The last test Elijah gave Elisha, and a very valuable test each and every one of us that wants to accomplish something for God will learn, and that is the test of loneliness. I want to read some notes. I pulled out my old Bible. Preached a similar message to this years ago. It's a test of loneliness. There was two towns with schools of the prophets. They hovered around each other. You know why? They couldn't be alone. They had to be around somebody else. They needed everybody else's encouragement. They needed everybody else's support. They needed everybody else's pat on the back and hoorah. Elisha wasn't looking for that. Elisha was just looking for somebody that was willing to be dedicated to his life and teach him something. Verses 3, 5, and 7, these college boys with the foo-foo hair and the funny-looking socks. Say amen, Elisha. They showed much pride, but little power. Knowest thou? Everything they were prophesying to Elisha never came true. They thought they had cornered the market on spirituality. They showed much pride, but little power. Here's the next thing. They had little faith, but much feelings. They stood afar off. They stood afar off from Elijah. They knew that he was the real deal. They were hopefully going to get a recommendation from the school of the prophets and the professors. Instead of just charting out there and saying, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to find me a mentor, I'm going to listen to that mentor and he's going to teach me everything I need to do to be successful in the ministry. Real commitment will not require moral support of one fellow man to go on. It is a test of loneliness. Listen to the words of one of the greatest New Testament Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. Paul writes to a young Timothy. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Why? He wanted to see his son. Why? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus, Joe, have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He didn't want to be mentored. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's what I want to do when I'm done. I want to find a young man that's fighting hell by the half acre, but he's loyal, he's a hard worker, and he might be lonely in that church. And I'm just going to be a shoulder and an ear. Hopefully he won't quit. There's too many people out there. You'll never know, and I'm not trying to preach a case for myself, you'll never know how lonely it is being surrounded by people. And everybody's just pulling a little bit from you. And all your now, if everybody got involved in the mentoring process, you'd be amazed how much can get done. Let me ask you this, and I'm done. Can you be lonely? Can you be alone? Can you be alone or lonely and still accomplish the task? If you can pass the curriculum of commitment and pass the three tests as Elijah did, then maybe, just maybe, you can accomplish twice the miracles of your predecessor. I'm not asking these Timothy guys to do it, but I'm going to tell you what, I hope one day I can look back and say, man, they listened. Look at what they're doing. I'd love to just visit their churches, visit their ministries, visit their mission fields. But not, it's not just them. It's the Noahs and the Ryans. I want to see what Caden Wesley, Joshua, and Jacob Michael produce. I want to be there. I want to facilitate their success. Not only them, but yours. It takes mentoring. It takes realizing you are a person that can be valuable to somebody else. And that other person needs to see the value of that as well. And when it happens, you can have a Moses and a Joshua, a Naomi and a Ruth, a Paul and a Timothy, a Paul and a Mark. Why? Because Barnabas came along when Paul's patience wore out and said, I'm going to help him. And then Barnabas invested in Mark, who was a young fellow that thought he knew everything and he didn't. And he put enough investment in Mark. Why? So that Paul could finally say when he was lonely, hey, who'd ever thought that when Paul got lonely, he'd say, hey, send Mark. Man, he's profitable for the ministry. Everybody ought to have a Barnabas in their life. They'll help you in your struggles. Everybody ought to have a Timothy in their life. Somebody you're investing yourself into. And everybody ought to have a Paul in their life. He's going to say something out loud that everybody else is thinking. If you don't have that, I challenge you to find that. Because if you can do that and invest in somebody, who knows where they're going to be in a few years? Or we'll just forget you ever existed. I can name people sitting on the church pews when I came here. They've never produced nothing. Nothing. I hope when it's all said and done, somebody will sit there and say, man, I'm thankful. In spite of my loyalty struggles and my labor struggles and my loneliness struggles, he invested me. He checked on me. He wanted to see. That shouldn't be something just the pig does. It should be something the chicken does as well. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Help us to invest in other people. Help us to pass the test of the torch being passed, and that the investment in our lives is not wasted. Lord, you know I have names on ordination certificate million the world to me. Pastors through the years, preachers through the years, that took the time to say things to me, took the time to take a Bible and wash my feet, wrap them, gird themselves about with a loincloth and wash the dirt off my feet. God, I owe my life to those men. Help us to be those kind of people. Mothers in here that can help the young mothers. Grandmothers in here that can help the young ladies. Aged men, grandfathers in here that can show the young boys a thing or two, how to fix this, how to change a tire instead of how to moose their hair. Help us, I plead, Lord. Help us to be a people that is concerned about discipleship. Help us to be a people that facilitates the success of others. We ask you these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's